May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1040. Hymn 1040. When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all we saw and heard was suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been but for grace. Hymn 1040.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read two readings this evening. Our first reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is nigh, is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now from the book of Job and chapter 23. The book Job, chapter 23. And Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. May God bless those readings from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious Lord, we come before thee once more, Lord, in this house of prayer, as we gather ourselves around thy word. O Lord, we pray that thou would help us here this evening as we gather for worship. Lord, we ask that thou would draw our minds, our thoughts, our desires heavenward. Lord, we pray that thou remove from us anything distracting. Lord, thou knowest the busyness of our minds. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would help us. Do pour out thy spirit upon us, Lord, we pray. May we know thy drawing power and influence. Oh, may that prayer be our prayer. Draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, do grant us, Lord, that power of thy spirit. Lord, we pray that thou reach out thy gracious hand and draw us unto thyself. Lord, that thou draw us away from our own natural understanding. Lord, draw us away from resting in anything that we have done. Lord, draw us unto thee, that we may come to thee as sinners in need, those that are seeking after righteousness, drawn away from resting in their own self-righteousness. Lord, bring us to see what it is, Lord, and bring us to see how insufficient. And Lord, grant us that true desire to know Thee, whom to know is life eternal, that we may be brought into that union and communion with Thee, to come unto Thee as sinners in need, to come naked, to be washed and to be clothed, to be cleansed from all our sins, and to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, we would seek that robe of His righteousness. For Lord, ours is full of holes. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Lord, give us that help we need to cast it aside and to come unto Thee for all. Lord, Thou art good and gracious. Thou art very merciful. And Thou hast said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, then, Lord, grant us that gift of living faith, which lays hold of the precious promises in Thy word, and lays hold of a precious Saviour that's revealed in Thy word, and seeks for that mercy which is to be found, asking for that great gift to be freely given of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Oh, we thank Thee that it is without money and without price. It is not based on a man's merit, but God's favour toward the unworthy. Oh, Lord, we are undeserving. We do not deserve the least of Thy mercies. But Lord, it's mercy that we need. We would come as that publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do remember each in their various needs this evening. Be with those unable to be here through affliction. We do ask, Lord, Thy healing, restoring mercies. We think of the deacon here, Mr. Curley. We pray for him, unable to be here this evening. Do lay Thy healing hand upon him. And Lord, we pray for others with their infirmities, their afflictions. Lord, Thou knowest each path, each case before Thee. We pray, Lord, that we may have those things sanctified to us. Lord, that Thou teach us and lead us into Thy word. Oh, we pray, Lord, that as we live out our lives, oh, that we may, Lord, trace out in Thy word that Thou art dealing with us as Thy children. Oh, Lord, may we have the witness of the Spirit in our hearts, confirming us. We pray that we may know the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost given unto us. Lord, leave us not to pass into things and through things and out of things and nothing be done, nothing be known. Oh, Lord, may there be those things done. Oh, may, Lord, we be bettered for them in our spirit. Oh, we pray, Lord, that Thou would teach us those things that would otherwise escape on our notice. Reveal, Lord, ourselves to ourselves. And, O Lord Jesus, reveal thyself. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt show us ourselves and show us thyself, both to see the contrast, but, Lord, to bring us to flee to thee. O Lord, we ask that thou remember each with the week we've begun. Do guide and direct each in the untrodden steps of their lives. Lord, we have had solemn reminders and one solemn reminder recently that the old must die and the young may die. And Lord, none of us know when that time will come. But one thing is certain, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It is inescapable. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt prepare us for that great day, that thou wilt wash us in thy precious blood and take our sins away. Deliver us, Lord, from the spirit of the world. Oh, but Lord, grant us that true understanding. Do shine thy light upon thy word. Shine thy light into our hearts. And oh, we pray that the light of the gospel of the grace of God might shine brighter and brighter. Lord, that we may know that all is well while life endure, and well when called to die. Lord, we do not know when that time will come. Lord, we leave these things with thee, for thou knowest, Lord, the end from the beginning of each of our little lives. And oh, we pray that in that time between the beginning and the end, oh, that thou wilt meet with us in the way and bless our never dying souls and save us with that everlasting salvation. And so, Lord, do be with each of the young. Lord, we pray that there may be those in encouragements for them. And Lord, we think particularly of those who prayed for the recovery of that young man, Joshua Jempson. And now, Lord, he has been taken. Oh, we pray that thou wilt go on to be gracious to each. And do teach us, Lord, and give us each the grace to accept thy will in all things. And keep us, Lord, from a murmuring spirit. Grant, Lord, that thy spirit might teach us. Lord, in the natural disappointments there are when those things that we ask for are denied. Thou art wise, all wise, all knowing, ever gracious, ever merciful. Do keep Satan from us, Lord. Lord, may he be restrained in his power. Do, Lord, arise for our help. And rather, Lord, do you use these things to bring many with that concern. Am I right? Am I ready? For sometimes, Lord, short is the warning. And we do pray then that thou remember us each with the favours that thou bearest to thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. Do, Lord, bless the children and the young people. Do guide and keep them in all things. Lord, thou knowest the multitude of things there are to distract them, to entice them, to turn them aside. But Lord, thou art able to turn their feet from the ways of sin to that path of life. Oh, Lord, thou art able to keep, able to deliver. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt show thyself able to save to the uttermost. All that cometh unto God by Jesus Christ. Lord, do guide and direct each, whether young or old, in the pathway of life, in the daily living out of our lives. Oh, do keep us from all the evil, though we must be in the world. May we not be of it. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the church here, that their light might shine brighter and brighter. Oh Lord, use thy people as a living witness to thy power to save. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt grant a building up of the church here in their most holy faith, and add to them such as should be saved. Oh, grant, Lord, that there might be many, all, Lord, brought in to the church here, if it could please thee. But, Lord, bring us each into thy kingdom at last, whether it's to join this local church or another. But Lord, may it be to be found among the living family of God. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou bless this village and this surrounding area. We thank thee, Lord, for those visitors. We pray, Lord, that thou bless them and add to the congregation here from this locality. Lord, that there might be many brought to turn in here and prove it to be thy appointed time. Lord, do remember us in this dark and evil day. Oh Lord, we think of the Church of God, and we think of many in other parts of the world that are suffering persecution for the truth's sake. We commit them into thy gracious hand in prayer. Oh, do uphold them and support them, and do bless them, be with them, bring to an end their persecutions, if it could please thee. Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself in thy one church. And Lord, may thy spirit be poured forth as thy word goes forth to the four corners of the earth. O Lord, may it please thee to bless it to the saving of souls. And that, Lord, that thy great and holy name might be honoured and glorified, even in this dark and evil day we are called to live. Remember us in our nation. We think of our King and his diagnosis recently. We pray that thou lay it to his heart and to his family and to each in our nation. And we pray, Lord, that thou remember those that have the rule over us. We ask, Lord, that thou work in their hearts. We pray that it might please thee to put in places of influence those that fear thy name. We pray that the tide of evil that's sweeping through our nation might be stemmed. Oh Lord, we pray that thou bind back the flood from overflowing, that it might not sweep all away before it. But grant, Lord, that there may be many brought to stand upon a rock. Well, we pray then, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt arise for our help, that thou wilt make bare thy holy arm, that thou wilt command deliverances for Jacob, even life forevermore, that thou wilt, Lord, subdue that power of sin and Satan in our day, and that thy gospel might have great success by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do bless thy servants. Do follow with thy blessing those things spoken in thy name. May it be the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. O Lord, send out labourers into the harvest. We pray then that thou remember us now as we gather around thy word. And as we leave, Lord, may we leave different to how we came. And go with us, Lord, we pray, as we go forth into this week. Grant that thy blessing might rest upon us as we pray for the forgiveness of all that we've asked amiss, and forgive anything spoken amiss, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 595. Free grace is the joy of my heart, its glories with wonder I trace. To me it does freely impart rich blessings just suiting my case. No monster more wretched could be, nor less of God's favour deserve. Yet such is free grace unto me, I never, no never can starve. Hymn 595.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to our second reading, Job chapter 23. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from verse 16. The book of Job, chapter 23, and verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. The book of Job, chapter 23, and verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Maybe you say this evening, not much encouragement from our text. Maybe you were wanting something uplifting. But friends, oh, what a truth Job proved. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. This is Job. And Job, who God had declared was upright. We read at the beginning how it was told of Job that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He deliberately avoided evil. He abstained from it. Oh, but he wasn't without the Lord's chastening, correcting hand. Oh, the Lord does deal with his children. And our text this evening says, for God maketh my heart soft. For God turns it to water. You know, friends, that the hardness of man's heart is an extremely serious and awesome thing. And except God, do this great work, the heart of man remains hard. Our hearts, through sin, is seared, isn't it? And sin has an hardening, deadening effect. And friends, even an enlightened sinner, one who has been brought to know and fear the Lord, proves the hardening, deadening effect of sin. If one is left to a spirit of backsliding and sin, oh, the hardness that soon appears. No more is there that tender fear of the Lord, but there is a hardness of heart. I spoke this morning a little of David. And David at times seems so tender-hearted. God said of David, a man after mine own heart. You know, when left to himself, how soon the hardness is seen. And friends, you, I'm sure some of you here know it. You know, I've seen it in my little life, my little experience. I've seen the effect of a conscience that was once tender being hardened through sin. I've watched it and I've seen it. I've observed it. I've seen it in those that have turned their backs on the house of God. When they came of age and they were able to leave the control of their parents, and they chose to turn their backs on the house of God, I've seen the effect. I've heard it testified from the lips of some that have done it. And they said, well, it was a little bit strange the first Lord's Day, the first Sunday, that they didn't go to chapel. And then it was a little less strange the next Lord's Day. And as the weeks went on, the effect wore off. And it became no problem. It wasn't any difficulty to not come to the house of God. You see, as one sin leads to another, it's like going down a set of steps. You go down and down and down, further away from the things of God, and the conscience, well, there's maybe a little pricking, a little sense of guilt at first, but that natural heart. Oh, the family ties, the tradition of going, soon it's all okay. Soon it's no trouble. Soon the Lord's Day becomes like any other day. Oh, may the Lord never leave us to such a state. But Job here is in the depths. Oh, the deep mysteries of the Lord's divine purposes at times. His way is in the sea, and his footsteps are not known. And he often gives no account of what he does. Oh, the purposes of God, the dealings with this man of God, Job. Oh, what the Lord permitted to take place in his life. The deep, deep water he was called to walk through. And the distress of those friends added to him when their initial sympathy turned to accusations. Oh, it was one thing on top of another for the man of God. When we had at the beginning of that reading, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. God maketh my heart soft. Well, in the context, Job is speaking as we read in Psalm 22. Of the heart being affected by outward and inward circumstances. We read this, Psalm 22, Psalm of David, a psalm which speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this in verse 14 I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. These are graphic descriptions, aren't they? Oh, for the soul trouble. David knew it by experience. And Job here speaks of it. Added to his distress, for Job was he couldn't find the Lord in it. He says, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. Oh, but he said he'll take his people by the right hand and lead them. Job says, he's hiding himself. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. And what can he console himself with? When the felt absence of the Lord is upon him. Well, he has to lean to faith, doesn't he? You know, friends, the believers to walk by faith and not by sight. And Job hears he has to walk by faith. His heart is soft. He's in trouble. And he doesn't feel the felt presence of the Lord in it. And at this moment he's in great distress. And he's looking for the Lord. And the Lord is withholding his presence from him. And so what is it? What is it for Job? But he knoweth. Oh, his faith will not allow. His knowledge of God does not allow him to think that God doesn't know. But he knoweth the way that I take. He sees that it is according to the Lord, the will of the Lord. And though it is dark, difficult, distressing, disturbing, yet it is the Lord's will. And he cannot allow himself to think that God doesn't know it. And his faith rests in the knowledge that he has of the knowledge of God. That he has an all-seeing eye. And that God knows. And he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. For God maketh my heart soft. Oh, I wonder, friends. Oh, I wonder how many of you have known some of this heart softening work of God. Oh, how many can look back to a time when they were hard hearted, indifferent, careless, and unconcerned. You know, I thought of, in connection with this, that hymn, 746. And verse 2 says, "Nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can relieve us from our smart. Nothing else from guilt release us. Nothing else can melt the heart. Laws and terrors do but harden. All the while they work alone. But the sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves the heart of stone. God, for God maketh my heart soft. A hard-hearted sinner. Now we're moving on from Job. You and me. Hard-hearted sinners. Oh, what can make the hard heart soft? You say, well, it's the judgment of God. It's the law of God. Oh, it's the shock. The shock of happenings in the life. Do they soften the heart? In and of themselves? You know, what about you and me? Surely none of us are without the Lord's judgment upon us. We all passed through COVID, didn't we? The solemn judgment upon the world. Well, the sense, the palpable fear that was around. Where is it now? You say, surely this will fill the chapels. What was the effect? Well, the Lord did use it and did sanctify it. But that in and of itself, friends. Oh, unless the Lord does it, it does nothing. You say, well, what about death? Death of a relative, death of a close friend, death of a young person. Oh, will that affect the heart of the people? Will it bring them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Will it bring them into a concern over their own eternal welfare and state and condition? Won't, unless God applies it. Again, I've seen this. I've seen it firsthand. I've known it myself, but I've seen it firsthand. Someone is affected by the death of a loved one. And it seems to have an effect. There's a more urgency in the chapel attending. Seems to be a genuine effect of it. But what is it? Oh, you would say the heart's been softened, that the heart's been affected. Is it natural? Or is it spiritual? Is it the natural shock of things? Or is it that deeper work of grace that's begun? And so we watch prayerfully on. And you know, I've seen it. The chapel attending tails off again. They're slipping back into the old ways again. As time moves on, the natural effect of the loss is removed. You say, surely this will soften. Surely this will awaken. Not unless the Lord applies. We spoke in the Sunday school about a voice in things. Do we have an ear to hear that voice? God must give it. You can't soften your own heart. You can't sanctify things to yourself. Oh, the mercy of God is the application of these things. No, the mercy of God is seen when these things are applied to the soul. Judgments and mercies ne'er can sway their roving feet to Zion's way. You think surely this will knock them off course? Surely this will knock them off that broad way that leads to destruction? Surely this will stop them in their mad career? Surely they can't sit through the service, the funeral service, and stand at the open grave, and it not knock them off that broad way that leads to destruction? There's a little wobbling, and then they carry on. A little wobbling. Still on the broad way, unsanctified, ultimately unaffected, except the Lord meet with them in the way. Judgments and mercies. What about the mercy of God? When those things are turned around in someone's life, maybe they're brought to the point of, maybe it's a diagnosis of what they feel is a terminal condition, and they're brought to an extreme place, and then the Lord delivers them. Well, there is a deliverance. Will that do it? Friends, if it's not sanctified, no, its judgments and mercies ne'er can sway their roving feet to Zion's way. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. You know, those of you who know and fear the Lord, and you look around on others, maybe those that you love, those who are in your acquaintance, those who you come in contact with, or do you have a burden for the souls of those? Does it concern you as you see them living their lives? Does it concern you that they have a never dying soul which, for all that we can see and know and gather, they are outside of Christ at the present? Does it concern us? And if it does, I pray it does, then what do we pray for? What about those that maybe once attended the house of prayer, the house of God, and are now gone off? Does that concern us? If it does, what do we pray for? No, we pray the Lord will bring them back. We pray that the Lord will bless them. We pray the Lord will save their soul. Nor do we pray the Lord will trouble them. Trouble them while they're on praying ground. No, we don't ask for trouble as such. But surely, friends, What was seen in the parable of the prodigal son is what we pray the Lord will do. Bring them into want. The Lord will search them out and trouble them so that they must turn. They must come back. They must return to the Lord. Oh, you know how solemn it is when some are leave the house of God. They go off into the world and it's unchecked. Nothing comes. No jolts, nothing. And if there are, they just muddle their way through it. Oh, what need there is, isn't there? For God to meet with them. Oh, we pray, we long for them to be brought into that day of trouble. Trouble in their soul. Because there's nothing like it. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby they fall under thee. That's Psalm 45, verse 5. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Deep. Oh, deep, isn't it? Those arrows that the Lord directs. Deep are the wounds thy arrows give. They pierce the hardest heart. Oh, God's arrows. Arrows of conviction, directed by God. Arrows that the sinner can't pull out himself, like those barbed arrows. They cannot pull them out. Oh, they're brought to fall, and fall under them, brought down, brought into a concern. Job says this, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." You know, friends, what a blessing it is if you and I are brought into this trouble. The melting of our heart, the softening of our heart, the turning of it to water if it's needed, and the troubling of the Almighty. While we are on praying ground. Oh, what a favour it is. It is that particular favour of the people of God. That these things are revealed and done in time. While there is time. And the word of God is clear. What is the sinner to do? When all around his soul gives way. When his own heart is melting within him. When he feels brought to the end of the earth. When he's brought to that desperate place. When he's brought in guilty before God. While on praying ground. The word of God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, is the Lord troubling you in your soul this evening? Is he giving you those reasons to be concerned? All is not well. All is not right. Oh, you're troubled. Maybe the recent death of a young friend has been sanctified. No, maybe it has got brought you into a concern. Friends, the Lord is good. Oh, may the Lord arise. May he bring healing in his wings. You know, my mind went to that Psalm 30. Another psalm of David. And we read this in verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment." Oh, something of the displeasure of God because of sin. "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Job says, "The Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." He's permitted it to come. He didn't take me away from this dark hour when I felt that the safety and peace and security, that peace in believing. Oh, he brought me into this darkness. I'm troubled by it. Why has it come? What is the reason? What is the purpose? Oh, that maybe there was some peace. Maybe there was some light. Maybe there was some liberty. And now Job's in the place of darkness. Oh, I was not cut off before the darkness. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face, but he's made me to view it and see it. And how troubling. But you know the Lord is good. And though it may be for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, there is a needs be. And as we read in that Psalm 30, his anger endureth but a moment. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that is your encouragement, dear friend, this evening. That while in the land of the living, that the Lord is dealing with your soul in a way that is good, though at the present it may feel anything but good. And maybe you cannot even raise a little expectation in your mind and in your heart that this could be working together for your real good. Friend, if it's God at work, it will be good. Oh, the Lord does not do this work of conviction in the soul while a sinner's on praying ground for them to die outside of Christ. The world has countless examples of unsanctified trouble. Hearts that have remained as hard as stone through various difficulties and troubles because all remained unsanctified to the soul. Because this work is particular to a child of God. We have it in Hebrews. I think it's chapter 12. That reminder, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, his children, the children of God, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? When you're about to faint and give up all hope of ever having any joy again, ever having any light, ever having any liberty, ever feeling any life spiritually. Why not faint? Because his rebukings are hard. Why not faint? For this reason, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And listen to this, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This is to be worried. This is to be feared. You see, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Oh, may the Lord bring you to rest on that rock, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, in the hand of the Lord upon you, in his dealings with you, in your soul and in your experience, as he strips you of this and he strips you of that. Oh, may he make you willing to offer them up as a living sacrifice on his altar. And as he teaches you and leads you in the path that you've not known. And as at times that path is a path of darkness and not light. And there doesn't seem to be much joy in it. Oh, may he teach you to wait on him. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. And to not lean to your own understanding. And to leave it all in his hands. And wait for him to appear. And plead that he will appear. Oh, you're not to wait prayerlessly. But you wait for him. Waiting at his door. Knocking at that door. The door of his mercy. And of his grace. For God is merciful. Oh, he has tender mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. And those things that the Lord does. He does forever. Oh, we think of that word in Ezekiel chapter 3 concerning what God does. I know, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Oh, the work of God. All is necessary. All is needful. Nothing is done in vain. Oh, there's no vanity of vanities with the Lord. Oh, there's lots of vanity here below. Things that are pointless. Things that are futile. But there's nothing vain with the work of the Lord. It's a purpose. There's a purpose in it. And the conviction of sin before the day of your death. The conviction of sin while on praying ground. Oh, what is it but to bring you to the feet of Jesus? Oh, to bring you to plead the blood, which did for sin atone. Oh, we had in that hymn I quoted earlier, 746, in that second verse, nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can relieve us from our smart. Oh, to feel the smart of sin. Oh, that the distress as the Lord brings you in guilty before him. And what is it that will bring the relief? What is it that will take away that smarting? Oh, it's that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, it's that peace-speaking blood. Oh, it's the cross of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is that triumphant death at Calvary. It is that triumphant cry of victory. It is finished. It is the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. It is that shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it is that fountain that's opened. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that precious blood spilt at Calvary. Oh, it cries out for mercy. It cries out for mercy. Oh, there's power, friends, in that cross at Calvary. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me, broken hearted, wounded, bruised. Those that feel to be from the sole of their foot to the crown of their head, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. It's healing. It's peace-speaking blood. It cleanses us from all sin. It makes peace with God. It reconciles sinners to God. Oh, that precious blood, which did for sin atone. Oh, friends, plead that blood. For God maketh my heart soft. Why? That he might bind it up again. Oh, that he might bring you to nothing. That he'll be everything for you. Bring you to the end of everything. That he'll be the author and the finisher of eternal life. To your never dying soul. Bring you to the end of your road, that the path of life for you might begin. He might lead you in that way everlasting. You've not walked that way heretofore. But the Lord will lead you by the right hand. lead you to glory. Oh, may it be so. I don't pray for trouble for any of you. Oh, but I pray this, that the Lord won't leave you to settle and rest in this world. Oh, if this world is your home, then you'll leave your home one day. But if the Lord so stirs up your soul and so troubles you in your soul that you cannot rest here, then you are not at home. And when you die and leave this world, you are heading home to glory. Oh, may it be so. May the Lord not leave one of us to settle in this world of sin. May we have what Job says here, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Amen.
God willing, as the parish is expected to preach again on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach and address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.